If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to former Royals catcher Mike McFarland, who joins us every week to talk baseball. What's up, Mac? How are you?
Hanging in there. Long night dealing with the water in the basement. Looking for water in the basement.
Let me tell you. Oh, no, that's... So every time, and we haven't figured it out, and we'll get to it eventually, you know, because it's above my pay grade, but when it had the rain, what was it, 13 or 14 days in a row, that I got water in the basement at the very end, and then there was another time when we had, it was like an unbelievable amount of rain, so it doesn't, there's no water in the basement, like if it rains once, but like something like yesterday and today, it sucks. It sucks. And I'm with you, man, so I hope you figure it out.
It's one of those, now where the hell is this coming from?
Right.
One of those things.
That's right. Mac, we'll talk about the Royals taking on the St. Louis Cardinals, but the talk of the town has been the Field of Dreams game that was on Fox last night. Your thoughts on Yankees, White Sox, and Iowa?
Well, every now and then MLB seems to get something right. And I didn't have to work late last night. I sat down, watched the pregame, and from there on, I was totally enthralled. And obviously loved the movie. The Kevin Costner bit, superstars on the stage, one of the best ball games of the year. The panoramic views of the corn and the sun setting, they absolutely nailed it. And it's just a tremendous game all the way up to the last pitch. That was one of the few games I can say, all right, that was money well spent. Great job, MLB. And you better do it again next year, which it sounds like they are.
You think they'll do this every year now?
You know, I think, one, I hope they do it next year because we sure as hell better be the team that plays there, the Royals, that is. I think the Royals would be a no-brainer, which would be kind of cool. And, you know, some of those things kind of wear off real quick. It's like, okay. Plus, you got lucky. What? We're getting 90 inches of rain in three hours here, and it's 10 degrees cooler than hell. And you're up there, it's 84 degrees and just absolutely perfect. So you could have 95 with 110 heat index, thunderstorms, rain delays, which I'm going out on a limb saying the drainage on that place probably wouldn't be that good. But so they totally got lucky on just a perfect night for baseball with a tremendous game. They're gonna do it for a while until it starts to get a little bit, all right, they're doing this thing again, but that tends to happen.
Hey, Mac, what's your favorite part about that movie?
James Earl Jones's speech there, talking about the game and how it's been erased and rewritten and defining history. You know, you can say whichever sport's America's game, but when it comes to the history of the sport and a country being defined by a sport, so to speak, not necessarily now, because look, NFL's above Major League Baseball. But when it comes to that stuff from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, baseball, America's game, and just to hear that Darth Vader voice go on that oratory speech that he gave, it was just phenomenal. And that kind of gave me goosebumps, and that's one of that with the music soundtrack behind it. One of my favorite parts of any movie at any time.
So it's kind of funny because to me, like, that's why I think it's such a great sports movie, is because it's not really about like a team and a season. It's really just more about what the sport means to somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. Father son relationships, yeah. Everything.
So for you, like, what can you take it back? Why did baseball become such a big part of your life? And what does, like, you know, like, how did it become to mean so much to you?
Well, back when we had to entertain ourselves, I guess, throwing a tennis ball against the wood garage doors. My kids still don't believe me on that one, that there were wood garage doors. my dad was a high school football and baseball coach and being around it, and he was always throwing batting practice before L screens. Just being around him and learning from him, the sport consumed me. I was always pretending I was Catfish Hunter on the mound throwing a tennis ball against the wall, or I was Joe Rudy for the Oakland A's hitting. When my brother and I would go out there and crush tennis balls into the neighbor's yards, we had to entertain ourselves. We would pack a lunch on a Saturday, head down to the school and stay down there and play baseball all afternoon and then come home for dinner time. You didn't have to worry about things back then. So, you know, finding a way to entertain yourself and then finding a game that you enjoyed doing, that's pretty much why it was just 24/7 for me.
See, and I think that's what I thought was so cool about last night is sometimes you can look at the big leaguers and see them in their big fancy uniforms and look at the payrolls and see how much money they make now, and they travel and stay in five-star hotels and all that stuff. You can almost forget, and I love hearing you, a guy that spent so much time in the big leagues, talking about like each one of those guys, for the most part, at some point in his life, was that kid who just was consumed by the game and loved the game and wanted to spend all their time playing it and probably watched that movie and every other baseball movie 100 times. And you could tell, like, they were, when they were taking the field, they were shaking hands with Kevin Costner, like the greatest baseball movie star of all time, who's been in like 3 great baseball movies and everything. And for him, like, those guys are heroes to him because they're big leaguers. I don't know, that to me, like, does that make sense? I felt like that moment last night kind of drew us all back to what we all are at the beginning of it, which is just kids who love the game of baseball.
I agree, Nate. And, you know, there was no sex, no violence, no one died, just a man's journey revolving around the sport of baseball to discover and heal and all of those things. I don't want to wax poetic here, but it was one of those things that every kid has gone through, and it might have been your mom that you played catch with, for all I know. But
yep.
Still, going out and having a catch with your dad and teaching you how to grip a ball and throw the ball when you're 6 years old and trying not to get hit in the eye, all of those things come back, and just the memories do flood back, and that's why that thing just tugs at every person's heartstring, male or female, when it comes to that stuff.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. Mac, Brady Singer returned from the IL, but got hammered. Brady Singer, what would you like to say about Brady Singer, please?
Well, you'd like to say grow up a little bit, but he's still very young. And his fastball was exploding. I thought it was a great move by the Royals to basically rest him for that time and let him work his way back into shape, just give the arm a break. There's just something that's not allowing him or the desire to understand what he needs to do. And, yes, everybody harps on his changeup, and when he gets amped up, you probably can't tell whether it's a changeup or a fastball. But, you know, the only guy that I knew that was able to get away with 2 pitches was Brett Saberhagen, because his curveball was horrible, and he basically won Cy Young Awards with a fastball and changeup. But he could also knock the tail off a Nat's butt with his ability to locate, and his changeup was filthy as well. So the two extremes are better than one speed and then one speed just a bit slower. So he does need to continue working on that. You know, I just want to see a better demeanor on the mound. But again, I caught a lot of very young pitchers that were up-and-coming guys that had the same, look on their face. Like, why isn't this going right? What am I doing? That type of stuff. And I think Brady's in that a little bit. The kid is, I think, just has a phenomenal arm, and I do believe he's going to have a lot of success. And we just have to understand that this is kind of the growing process that he's going through. And, you know, one day it'll click. Just get him through this year healthy without overthrowing his arm. I know there's got to be some discussion as we get late into September whether that, okay, this is enough innings for him right here. And shut him down, especially with the 6-man rotation. So it's going to be a valuable arm that we're going to enjoy watching in the future for a long time. Let me leave it at that at the end.
So then what do you believe is his path to success? You've talked about him in his two pitches. I mean, how solid of a foundation is that? And you're in the off season. What are you having him work on? And then, like, for example, Bluma thinks he ultimately ends up as a reliever. Do you think that his future is still as a starter for the Royals? What are you doing to get him on the right path to success for 2022?
Well, while people may think that arm's too valuable. You know, I said it before, that stuff, when he's on and it's fresh, is no-hitter stuff night in, night out, potentially. Just the explosiveness of that ball. At some point, some of these guys that are top picks that are signed should be destined to be starters. We can't keep taking these kids and just throwing them into the pen and say, well, this didn't work out. Let's just make them a reliever. Because then you're just going to turn into one of those teams that has an opener every damn game and wear out your arm throughout the course of the year. No, I believe he's still a starter. No question about it.
Does it make you feel any better, though, like the emergence of Carlos Hernandez, that maybe there's an answer there that could give you some more depth to go with these other young guys in the rotation?
Yeah. You want to talk about a guy that just has that look on his face that, here's my opportunity. Let everyone talk about the lefties and the first-round pick and everybody else, and I'm just going to go out and shove. That's Hernandez. Explosive fastball, the curveball. And you actually see him throwing it, which is pretty impressive, a 90-mile-an-hour changeup. So you have three pitches moving three different ways and swingable pitches. You know, sometimes a guy will throw a changeup where you can shut it down as soon as you see it leave his hand as a hitter. His stuff isn't. Just that velocity forces you to make sure you're on time for the fastball. And anything that's coming in with any height, you're gonna approach it, check swings galore. Explosive stuff. I love Hernandez, my new favorite arm on the Royals.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. Max, so we talked about Carlos Hernandez, how good he's looked, and Brady Singer and his struggles. How have you felt what you've seen recently from Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich?
A lot more composed, and Bubich is more close to this. There comes a point where the relaxation hits, and you hear the phrase a lot, trust your stuff. But I think it also started with the fact that they started throwing a few more breaking balls. And you get into a habit in the minor leagues, high school, college, whatever, where you just overpower hitters with your fastball. And it's explosive at that age, and you can't do that at the major league level, as these guys can spin on a bullet. I've said it before. You have to have some deception. You have to have movement and everything else. And now the way I gauge things, guys, is, oh, I'd love to catch this kid with this stuff. This would be fun calling a game. And when I get that going, I'm saying, okay, these guys, yeah, this would be fun calling a game, because right now he's making some very good hitters look very stupid with this stuff that he has. And you just didn't see that. It's that settling in period that you need, that, you know, Brady Singer should be at that point right now. But I think he's just fighting it a little bit, and these guys seem to, maybe it's the left-handedness in them that has allowed them to relax and settle down and trust their stuff a little more.
Mike McFarland is our guest.
All right, let's go back to some old school baseball, since we were talking, you know, we started with the Field of Dreams stuff and old school baseball guys like yourself. Is that not Nicky Lopez? Is he not just like a throwback that you could picture throwing a tennis ball against his garage door like over and over again when he was a kid?
Yeah, and can you be any happier for a kid that took advantage of an opportunity that was given to him? You know, it goes back, I couldn't stand when Royals fans would just harp on Alcides Escobar and what he did at shortstop, playing every single day, playing every game, playing solid defense. Well, he can't hit this. Well, fine, but the guy's out there making the plays every single day. In the lineup, not a question, doesn't even look at the board when he walks into the locker room. Well, Nicky Lopez is the same way. Getting a day off against a filthy lefty from time to time, okay, I get it. But he's just been phenomenal defensively. Should have won a Gold Glove last year. And now that his batting stroke has calmed down a little bit, and by that I mean he's a lot calmer in the box. He's working the middle of the field, and all he's not trying to hit balls over people's head. He's just finding a way to put the barrel on the ball and put the ball in play, and he's had a lot of success doing it. So, you know, I thought it was a great move by Matheny to move him into the two-hole, providing some opportunities there with a left-handed bat for Witt to steal, and the opportunity that when Witt does steal, Nicky can swing it and open some holes for him, and then we get to Salvi. So those type of things that he's done, he's got to be proud of himself. I know the Royals are proud of himself, how he handled the whole Mondesi thing at the start of this season, and then getting the opportunity and putting to rest all the doubts about his hitting.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. Mac, the other thing that will be exciting to watch, besides hopefully the young pitchers develop between now and the end of the season, is when they call up some of the young guys from AAA, and that would mean Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Prado, maybe MJ Melendez. Mondesi is eventually going to work his way back to the major leagues. What's your timeline with that? Do you want to see any or all of those guys between now and the end of the season? How would you like to see the Royals handle that?
Well, again, you got to pick your poison, because crying out loud, we got some decent kids that are you know, up here now with Oliveras and Rivera and things like that, and Alberto. You got to take a look at those guys, and there's only so many roster moves that you can make. So pick your poison. Do you bring those kids up and put a few more butts in the seat so people can go watch them play, or do you find out about the guys who have worked their way to the top? And, you know, you're trying to see what they can do on a consistent basis, because right now they got a whole bunch of kids in that same gray area that, yeah, you want to see Witt, Melendez, and Prado and those guys, but you also want to see the guys that have come up here and done a pretty damn good job and see what they can do. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting come the month of September what they're going to do. And you know, with the roster limitations, you used to be able to bring up 100. Almost have to take two charter planes to get somewhere, but they got to make some tough decisions to see who and what they want to work on for the rest of the year in September. Because if things click, guys, I'm telling you, you can't expect Dozier to have an awful year again next year, and the lineup's going to be a lot better. Just finding out if these kids can do it and these young arms mature, it's going to be fun here, I think. Next year is going to be a step of growth and then contention the following year, in my opinion.
Okay, so you brought up an interesting name there in Edward Olivares. And so I just retweeted footage of him
Say that again. Right, I like that.
Making a great catch last night at AAA. And so they can't even find the bats for him so they can evaluate him. Clearly, they decided we're going to take the long look at Emmanuel Rivera at third base. And that means Dozier in the outfield, and that means Olivares at AAA, where he continues to play well, continues to hit well, but I think it's somewhat bizarre that they just don't decide, okay, he gets every day at bats, and now at the end of the year, the organization clearly is split on him. Jeffrey Flanagan tweeted as much, and the proof's in the pudding, but let's just find out. I think you can find at bats for him. What's your reaction to the way they've yo-yoed him back and forth between here and Omaha, and he's in Omaha right now?
I know. It's just it's a tough situation. You got to find that fine line between playing the guys that are under contract, making a heck of a lot of money, and, you know, another decision's going to come when it's time to get Mondesi back. So those are the tough decisions that people don't realize. You know, they pick their... They pick their favorites and things like that and say, yeah, we should be all in on him, but it's not that easy. And those are the things people have to concern themselves with. So, look, if they pull the plug, you know, at the end of the season and just start getting these kids in there and putting that lineup in there to see what they can do, okay, I can get it. But, yeah, it's awfully tough. It's not a Bill Pecota situation where you got a utility guy that can come up and play every position. I think he has a chance to be an everyday player in the major leagues just because of the way he gets up there and swings the bat in an offense that's devoid of, you know, hitters, so to speak.
I heard Petro bring up the concept of service time manipulation with him as well. And the Royals don't typically do that, right? Like with a lot of their players, they've brought him up. They've done the opposite.
One start, Brady Singer. One start.
Right. And so I don't know if that's realistic or not, but you can look at it and see that they could stand to gain by Oliveras being in AAA right now because they can add another year onto it. And so I don't know if that's a factor in it or not, but it would actually, in
that
some
would be
ways,
good though, but then why did they do it with Brady right, Singer? They know are you right, playing the game or not.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right. Well, maybe it's.
I don't think they do it. I don't. I think it's just one of those things that, you know, maybe Dayton, Cal Eldred, and, you know, Mike Matheny get in there and say, we want to keep this guy, and Dayton gives in. I don't think Mr. Sherman's going to be that type of guy to manipulate service time, and I don't think Dayton does it to that extent either. So they think if the guy is a legit major league player and he's ready to pitch in the big leagues or play in the big leagues, they're going to bring him up and do it.
You know, I agree with you, Mac. I mean, they've proven over time that that's not how they operate. But I do wonder, like, if it's a factor. If you have, like, if you have one guy who's got options and you stand to maybe gain, you got to make a roster move. Like,
I agree.
You know
I
what
agree.
I'm saying?
Yep.
If you're sitting in the office and it's like, okay, we got to make a roster move here. We're going to have to send somebody down. Well, the first question is, who do we have options on? Like, who can we send down that we don't have to risk losing? And he's one of those guys. Then there might be, okay, what other factors are at play? Well, you know what? We pick up another year of service time on this guy if he just spends another month in the minor leagues or whatever it is. And I don't think I personally don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that's how the CBA is set up. Those are the rules that the team signed on for. And I'm not saying, hey, if you think the guy, like for example, if Bobby Witt Jr. is ready to play and help the major league team next year and they decide to sit him for a month in the minor leagues just to manipulate service time, then I think that's, you're damaging your own team short term.
Agreed.
But if it's just like, hey, we got to make a move here, and it's part of the factor, that seems a little reasonable to me.
Well, it's that old thing you do with the pros and cons of any question that you ask of yourself. Here's the good, here's the bad, and all things being, you know, the same and different, then, well, we can send them down and save a year of service time. Sure, that's going to factor in, but out of necessity, bringing a guy up, and then, well, he's still got options. Let's send it back down, get him at bats every day. They'll choose that one just to get the kid to play every day.
Mike McFarland has been our guest. Mac, thank you so much for talking baseball with us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Thank you.
No. Thank you, Mac. So
I love Mac.
But so then, what are they doing with Rivera? So I guess they're just giving him the. It's clear the organization split on Olivares. There's no, I mean, again, Flanagan knows what he's talking about. He tweeted, they've shown it.
I think we got as always, we get great insight from J.J. Piccolo. When he was on yesterday, we asked him about can he play center field. And he said, look, his speed is about a 60 on the 0 to 80 scale, right? Or the 20 to 80 scale. So it's good, but not great speed. It's not like the kind of speed that Mondesi or Michael A. Taylor has. So if he's going to play in center field, his routes have to be perfect. And last night, I don't know if you saw, he made a great play, a diving catch in center field. And so that might be where some of it comes down. Some guys in the organization might look at it and go, you know what?
Where did you hear about that catch from?
I don't know. Somebody talked about it.
When I told Mac that, hey, he made a great catch, retweeted it.
Yeah.
That's fine. I know you care.
So
they're working. He's working on center field to see if they can improve him.
And I can see
fielder.
Some scouts going, you know what? He just doesn't have the top end speed to cover the ground in center field at Kauffman the way we want. And there might be other scouts going, you know what, though? His routes are good enough that he can make up for it. And there's a little bit of a difference of opinion there. And then you're trying to map out where you think guys are going to play down the road and all that stuff. So they're not simple questions to answer.
I think there's a bats for them, though, and they don't have to be in center field.
I don't disagree with you there.
So, they don't think of him that way. Maybe they've decided he's a fourth outfielder, and that's how we're going to treat him. If they really believed that he'd be up here, right? They're trying to figure out if Rivera is the third baseman of the future. And they decided that they feel stronger about that. Now, I'm just going to put this, plant the seed again. We talk about who the third baseman of the future is, right? And they're trying to figure this out. And Jake, don't be getting mad at me. I try to bring things up that make sense. So you remember when they, and we're talking about Brady Singer, is he a starter? Is he going to be a reliever? Where's the third pitch? Is he too stubborn? Why is he getting rocked this year? Remember when they picked Brady Singer? Mm-hmm. Number 18 in 2018. Who did I want during the draft that I tweeted out? So you can go back and look. And
the
who
Cardinals
won the show?
Drafted.
Nolan Gorman. Nolan Gorman.
Gorman, yeah.
He's considered either the second or third best, or some people say the best third base prospect in all of baseball. He's a Triple A. He's on the verge.
You haven't let me soon forget that.
He's
since that day.
So he's on the verge, right? Right now he's having a very good month. I looked at Triple A. It's topical because the Cardinals are in town. But, I mean, it would be different. There would be, imagine him right now at Triple A. With Prado and Witt and him at third base, all just about ready to come up. Now, I hope that Brady Singer develops into the type of starting pitcher that we don't think about that. You know, but it is noteworthy. It would change some things, right? And yes, I understand they could put Bobby Witt at third base. But man, oh man, can you imagine that? That all three of those guys together in the infield at Triple A just knocking the cover off the ball? So I really want Brady Singer to work out. And just remember, in that draft, Brady Singer went 18, Nolan Gorman went 19. And like right now, hey, Singer made it to but that was what, you know, he was closest to the majors. He had the highest floor. But it doesn't feel good right now. It doesn't feel like it felt kind of good last week. Hey, all right. It doesn't feel good this right now. As we're talking about them auditioning Emmanuel Rivera at third base to try to figure out if they have a third base for the future. That's it. You got to put it out there, right? Back after this on WHB.